stuff that you would like to donate, see Doug or Kim prior to that, and they will get you hooked up with that. Amen. Tonight we'll be here at 6 o'clock. We'll continue in our little study of walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's been very interesting. It has stirred up some good conversation, which on Sunday evenings, that's what we like to do. We have a little study, and it's very informal, very open, and we like to have questions. We like to have the discussion. So if you are interested in things of the Bible and you like to, ask a question, a lot of people, sometimes they feel like, oh, I shouldn't ask, or I shouldn't speak up, or this. No, that's the place where we get together and we really discuss God's word, and we have an opportunity to learn from each other and grow with each other in those things. And so that'll be tonight at 6 o'clock. Wednesday night, we'll be continuing with Celebrate Recovery. If you have not attended a Celebrate Recovery meeting yet, I encourage you to do so. It has been very wonderful and powerful and life-changing for those who have participated. So please come and take part in that at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Amen. Because I can't think of all the rest of the announcements, and I know there's other ones, I am going to turn it over to our guest this morning. Let's give a hand for Brother Tim and Debbie Anderson.
Thank you, Pastor.
There's water right there.
Okay, I'll give that in a minute. Good to see you folks. We're glad to be here. Debbie and I were here a little over 2 years ago. We have to be home just until the 14th of July to deal with some personal family issues that we have to put in order, but good to come to Geneva. I was born in Sampson Air Force Base, which is now a park, my older brother and I. And so it's always good to come to your birthplace, I guess, although it's not there anymore, the hospital. But we live in Syracuse now, but are overseas most of the time in Ecuador. We were appointed in 1986. We were married in 83 to become missionaries. And the Lord's been faithful. We're going to celebrate our 32nd anniversary coming up this July in just a few days. And so we're excited to be able to do that. Just a lot of things have been happening, and I'm going to share some great things that have been happening in Ecuador in this last few years, especially incredible things and opportunities, doors that God's opening. And Debbie's going to give you a little update in the family. So, and don't forget all the bugs, the shrunken head, the snakes, and everything on the back table there. I let them out to have to wander around a little bit, before they have to go back in the suitcase. So visit with them, because it's going to be a long time before they get to visit anybody for a while. So Debbie, why don't you come up and share a little bit about the family.
Good morning. Tim said, make sure I tell you to grab the prayer card. We have a prayer card in the back, and we really need your prayers daily. So anything you do daily, put this near it. Pray for all the missionaries. I think that the persecution is increasing. The receptivity, especially in the Far East and in the Mideast, there's a lot of persecution. And in Ecuador, it's no different. We have an increase in Muslim presence. We have the witchcraft and sorcery that go on in the jungle. And just people that are resistant, always trying to do things their way or, through worldly means, and it doesn't satisfy. And so we always look for that open door of where we can share the Lord and His love and the hope that's in Christ. Also, we have a newsletter. We went to Staples and did the whole color copy thing last night for you, so make sure you grab those. The front is our Teen Challenge Center, and I will be humbly boasting on my husband, but the Donald Wilkerson said that our center was the finest center in all of Central and South America. So it's a pretty cool thing, 5 stories high. And we have other buildings on the property. And then the other side of it is a little bit of what my husband does in the jungle. I don't tend to go in the jungle. We did have 5 kids, and then I homeschooled, and then I worked at the school that they attended for about 13 years. So I kind of ran the hub of the home, and he would go out in the jungle. And I mean, like, really bad jungle, like tarantulas that are bigger than my hand, and deep Amazon. There's no water, there's no toilets. Well, there's water in the streams, so he bathes in the stream, and no electricity and no daylight savings. And not, so you just about 6:30 at night, you have to have either candles or a flashlight. And it's about as primitive as you can imagine. So, but you know, God can call somebody specifically for certain types of ministry. And on, when we went in as a family, we would have to rent the plane and all go in together. And logistics are hard when there's seven of you. We have to take two flights to get in there because you can only put four people on a flight. You know, those little Cessna planes. And all the in and out and all the tarantulas and scorpions and poisonous snakes. He's never been bitten. Never. I think he had a couple of scary flights, but no. Tragic flights. Our kids are from 31 to 21 now. So the last one has come stateside about 3 years ago. So we're empty nested. And we have four grandchildren. And for the men, I know this is exciting. It always makes my heart pitter-patter. But our three sons serve the United States Air Force. And they are in harm's way. The middle one right now is in Qatar. I noticed yesterday on the news that Kuwait was part of the terrorist activity that kicked up, and I just said a prayer, you know, Lord, I would like my son to come home next month. He's been gone for the 6 months, this deployment. And we have not, this would be just another little prayer for me. I haven't been with our family all together since 2009. So it's been 6 years that we haven't had Christmas all together. And I know maybe it's not a big deal for you, but sometimes we're on four continents. Sometimes we're, you know, it could be like Kuwait or Afghanistan, New York, Middle. And it's crazy how we all are all over the place. So I would really love to be able to have a Christmas sometime here where we're all together. 29 years, it's almost 30 years that we've been missionaries, and you have supported us month by month. All those years, and I can't say that about every church, and I know some of you have been here 30 years, and we really appreciate that. We appreciate that we're able to be your hands and feet out there. We've had some rough years sometimes where the funds were a little tight, and we had hepatitis A for 9 months, but we're still standing, and we're still out there for you and for the Lord, and we just appreciate your faithfulness here. I said to Tim, I kind of want to take this Thursday on our anniversary and poke around over here, go into Geneva, and just, I want to go to Sauter's. Isn't that out this way? I said, I want to, like, get some bulk things, you know, to take back to the field. So we're just here. Tim's getting his mom's will and estate and paperwork and all that in order, and so we came for a little vacation and some legal work, but just took the opportunity to drive over and say hi and thank you again for your faithfulness. God bless you.
I'm going to go up there, honey. Can you take that? I'm going to go up. The water's here. I like that water. That looks really good. A cold cup of water in the Lord's name. Will that... person giving it will not lose a reward. Got reward for that. I want to share a few things that I really think the Lord's put on my heart here. I perspective is everything. When you have God's perspective on things, when you have His point of view, when you see it how He sees it, it makes it a lot easier. How many know that? When you can see it, how God sees it, when you can see that. In Psalm 66, if you want to have your Bibles there, to turn to there for just a moment. In Psalm 66, verses 10, 11, and 12, those first three. Just want to start with that and just... ask the Lord to give us what He wants from His Word, and I'm going to be sharing some things from Ecuador too. Psalm 66, right there in the middle of the Bible, verse 10 through 12. For you, O God, have proved us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water. And this is the key. But you brought us out to rich fulfillment. Amen. That's the final part that's the most important. You brought us out to rich or abundant fulfillment. God is in the business of refining us from now until we go to be with him, either the taken up in the rapture or die and meeting him up in the air. It's one or the other. But until that time, we are in the process of being refined, and we need to have that perspective and cooperate with his hand upon us. And that will give us benefit. A lot of people suffer all the time, but they don't get any benefit because they don't accept God's perspective on the suffering. What does Hebrews 5:8 say? Although he was a son, yet he learned obedience through the things he suffered. Talking about Jesus. Not sin. He never sinned. But he suffered and learned obedience through suffering. And then later became the author of salvation for all who would believe. He grew into that place. And we, as his sons and daughters, cannot complain to him, because he knows what we go through. He has gone through and much deeper than what we go through. Yet without sin. We, of course, have sinned. He didn't, but he suffered greatly. But that brought him into such a deep obedience and even death on the cross. And then he gained the title, the position of glory to be our Savior. And he paid the price. And if we will take that position, we will not complain or murmur for our suffering. Okay? The Holy Spirit will put a check on us and say, remember, you're in a process. This isn't forever. And you will come out to rich fulfillment, deep, abundant fulfillment. And especially in heaven, but in this life too. Not just in heaven, but he will bring forth his blessing when we have gone through, if we will cooperate. A lot of people go through suffering and don't cooperate, and they go through the same thing again, and the same thing again, and the same thing again, and never learn what they're supposed to learn. And so it becomes an endless cycle of suffering without benefit, without refining, without purifying, and without drawing us closer to the Lord. And that's what we want. We want to draw closer to him, deeper with him, and enjoy him more as our life is winding up or winding down, however you want to look at it. And that's what we want. And he arranges those things. When we were in Ecuador, Debbie mentioned our first several months, we came down with severe hepatitis. And so much weakened us for so many months, I couldn't get into the jungle. And I felt the Lord had called me into the jungle, because it's in his calling. When he was preparing my heart back into the early 80s, it was, is it right that you stay here and preach the gospel here? And I was living and working at Teen Challenge in Syracuse at the time. He goes, is it right that you stay when many people haven't yet heard one time in other areas in the world? Is it right? And the Holy Spirit was challenging me with that confrontation and confirming through the book, Through Gates of Splendor by Elizabeth Elliot, the death of her husband, the five missionaries who were martyred by the Alca Indians, that I would work in the jungle and I would work right next to them. They border the Shuar Indians. And so, yet in that first year, I hardly had the strength to walk across like the sanctuary, let alone get into deep jungle and do 12-hour hikes, you know, through endless mud and rivers and thousands of roots of trees and poisonous snakes and on and on and on and on. It's like I can hardly even, you know, I'm just trying to survive. But God in his wisdom knew how to use these things. And I couldn't get into the jungle, but as my strength started coming back, I could go to the prison and start preaching in the prison. And I didn't go to Ecuador to preach in the prison or to be involved with a teen challenge. I went there to do tent campaigns, church plantings, and to do the jungle work, to establish churches in the jungle, of which I've done a lot of in the last almost 30 years, but I never came there to do teen challenge. But as I got more involved with the prison work and my strength was coming back more and more, and then saw the need for follow-up outside the prison, the Lord really started to deal with me about starting a teen challenge back in the early 90s. And that happened because of the hepatitis. If we didn't have the hepatitis and go through all that, I wouldn't have gone to the prison. I wouldn't have had a heart to follow through with the prisoners who were in there and continue discipleship, and wouldn't have started the teen challenge. It would not have happened. But because he stopped this for a time and opened this door, and that's what I could do, that opened all of this up. And then later on, when my strength came back and we were better, then we went into the jungle in his time. Amen? God has a time and a season for all of us. And we need to cooperate with him, not fight him. Say, Lord, you know what I can do. You know what I can't do. And you know what's best for me. And you can look back now. At the time, of course, we had no idea. We're doing a lot of reflecting here. But it helps us now to prepare for the future. Because we live in incredible times. I've got a good quote for what happened with the Supreme Court decision the other day. It's from the book of Acts. Stephen is talking to the leaders. He goes, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, will you always resist the Holy Spirit?" How's that for a quote? The Holy Spirit will guide us. The Holy Spirit will give us his direction. He will give us God's perspective as we allow the Holy Spirit and his word to direct our lives. We won't get caught up in the culture. We won't get caught up in the political correctness. We will be caught up with God's perspective, divine perspective. Amen? And he wants us to have his perspective on things so that we can be fruitful in the midst of perilous times, dark times. And as I said, we're getting into villages now that we didn't get in a few years ago. We have 6 new villages open up in 2 different provinces that are incredible things. And there is a hunger as people are more and more, as the wild, the anarchy and the chaos and the confusion happen in the world in these difficult economic times, people are hungry for answers. They're hungry for reality, hungry for truth. And we need to take advantage of these times and say, Lord, give me a heart that's fixed on you and that worships you and then stays constant. And then you'll have something to share with people, because people are really looking. A lot of people that a few years ago were not looking. I talked to some European mountain climbers because I love to go in the mountains. I love to climb and have nice prayer times up there. I do that all the time. This is about 15, 20 years ago, and I was with my kids, and they were younger. And I came across these European young people, maybe in their 20s, 30s. And I said, just very, very subtly, and just wanted to get to the point, though. I said, "And what do you think about Jesus?" I just put that out there for them. "What do you think about him?" And they said, "Well, we don't need him. We're young, we're rich, and we're in good health." How's that? We're young, we're rich, and we're in good health. I go, "Well, I appreciate your honesty, but it always isn't going to be that way. Not always going to be young, right? Not going to be in good health. You're going to die someday. That's going to happen. The riches, that can leave in an instant." And I said, but they were honest. But what a tragedy. We don't need him. But there'll be a time when they do, right? We want to plant those seeds. Jesus, we want you to be glorified. We want you to be lifted up because we always won't be young and financially stable and in good health. And then there's a great possibility of people's hearts being open. I shared earlier, maybe a couple of years ago, of praying for my uncle who lived in Buffalo, and how he and my aunt came to the Lord. My mom prayed with them just several months before they died. They were in their early 90s. Been praying for them for many, many years, decades. Now my other uncle, my mom's older brother, late 80s, 89, just accepted the Lord a month ago. We prayed with him, visited him. That wouldn't have happened. That didn't happen the last year or so, a couple years. You mentioned the Lord to him or anything else, he would leave your presence. He'd walk away from you. But he prayed, opened his heart. He and his wife, he's gone through a lot of suffering the last couple of years. He's not the same man. People that you have been praying for, your relatives, your friends, your neighbors, aren't the same people they were a few years ago. Amen? They're not. They're going through things. And as you pray, God will work on their hearts. Don't give up praying. I got a good acronym. PUSH. P-U-S-H. PUSH. Pray until something happens. Isn't that good? PUSH. We want to push them into the kingdom. Pray until something happens. PUSH. P-U-S-H. PUSH. We were in our 10 campaign in our first term and finishing up. We went 2 years, 7 nights a week. You think that's exhausting? We had a couple of guys helping me with the preaching. Debbie helped with worship. We were there at least 5 nights every week for 2 years, among other things. And then we had open air meetings in the weekends, Sunday morning, Sunday school, leaders meetings, a lot of other things. Plus, I was visiting the prison at that time and just started visiting the jungle. We had rented land, and we were about to get kicked off the land in 6 months when we were ready to leave on furlough. And we had a congregation of about 250 people, and almost all new Christians. Maybe 5% were already, but 95% were all new Christians through the campaign for the last 2.5 years. And we're about to lose the property because we're just renting it. And the landlord tried to kick us off before the contract was over several times. Just incredible. And in desperation, how many know, in desperate times, it requires desperate actions. When Peter was put in jail and they'd killed James, they were going to kill Peter. And they went into prayer day and night. That was desperate. They didn't want to see Peter killed. And then he was released miraculously in an impossible situation. And so we started praying every morning, 5 to 7 o'clock, going to the up into that mountain church, into the tent, and crying out to the Lord 2 hours every morning from 5 to 7 o'clock without missing. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Sunday morning, every week for 6 months. And after 5.5 months of continual prayer, the landlord, who was like to me a mini Pharaoh, buckled and against his will sold us the property for a cheap price, and then was mad that he did it. We had the title in our hands and he was mad. He couldn't help himself. Continual prayer went up to God, and I know the Lord put his finger down on him. And I gotta talk to him and say, what happened to you? I'm going to do that when I get back, because it's been almost 30 years. He could probably reveal a few things now. I want to know before he dies. I go, what happened to you? And I'll say, this is what we did. But because of that, a foothold has been established, a lighthouse of the gospel for 30 years because God moved and did an impossible situation. because we were desperate, didn't know what else to do. Push. Pray until something happens. Amen? If God didn't want us in that property, when we were praying, he would reveal, no, I've got something else for you. I have something better for you. But if he puts the peace in us, no, I want you here, just keep praying. Keep pressing in. Don't give up praying. Push. Pray until something happens. It took 6 months. My case of my Uncle Ross, it took 35 years. My Uncle Jim, it took 39 years. But they're in the kingdom. Amen? That's worth it. I'm looking forward to seeing some relatives. Others, much easier. Others, longer. Don't give up. Keep praying until something happens. When we put the $5,000 deposit down in the teen challenge, non-refundable, 5 months to raise the other $65,000. And I was like, oh, Lord. This is in the mid-90s. Faxes and phone calls and letters, handwritten. And praying a lot for 4.5 months. And we'd raised another $25,000 to give us 30, and we lacked $40,000 with 2 weeks to go. How many think that would be a little bit of pressure, a little bit of stress? And Satan attacked me this one night, and I was literally up walking and praying all night, just over what I'm thinking, and attacking me. What a shame, Tim, you're going to lose the $5,000 deposit that these people trusted you with. What a shame. How are you going to face them? Does that sound like old Slewfoot? That's what he was saying, and just attacking. And I was just desperate. And the next morning, the very next morning, Steve Hill from the Pensacola Revival, which was in full swing in Florida at that time. Remember that Pensacola Revival? 4 million people worldwide came to visit that. And he's the Billy Graham of the Assemblies of God. He doesn't know me from Adam. Tim, how's your project going with Teen Challenge, that property? I go, great. Going great. He goes, how much did you raise? I go, well, we raised $25,000 more. We have $30,000 for the property. He goes, how much do you need? $40,000. How much time do you have? 2 weeks. He said, why don't you get some rest? I'm going to cover that. Just like that. I'm going to cover that. Get rest. I didn't rest all night. I was up all night, pacing the floor, praying, crying out to God. I'm going to cover that. And to the very day, January 31st, 1997, all the money came into the Ecuadorian bank that day. Not before, not a day before, not a day after, the very day it had to be there. It all got there. And if I was a great man of faith, I would have been very calm and peaceful the whole time. But we do battle our flesh. But the Lord has a way of being very precise so that we don't doubt that it was him. When Jorge Alia, who helped me start the Teen Challenge, Ecuadorian pastor and friend, ex-prisoner, he helped me start it. He works with me in the jungle, and we were two different parts of the jungle. This is several years ago. And we had there's no cell phones out there, where there's no way you can communicate. And we had to meet back at this pilot's home in his driveway whenever we could get back. And we had no way to communicate with each other. We were both in far reaches of the two different provinces, way out in deep jungle. And we said, this day we're going to get back, and then we'll go drive back up to Quito, to another couple hundred miles back up to Quito out of the jungle. And that day, as he was getting off the bus, I was getting out of this truck, taxi cab truck. They drive these little pickup trucks, which are taxi cabs in the jungle. The very second both of our feet hit the ground off the bus, out of the truck, we met at that pilot's driveway. He didn't get there a minute before me or a minute after. We came there the very same second. Boom. Like so precise, you couldn't have choreographed it better. It's like, Lord. Because then he had done a bunch of errands in town before he came, and I had to stop and get something to eat because I had just hiked hours and hours, and I was very exhausted, dehydrated. And then we didn't know. We just were trying to get there, and then the very second we end up at the exact place we have to be from far different areas. And I said, Lord, you're so precise. Isn't he good? He's so good. He's so good to us if we would just acknowledge him. I love that push. Pray until something happens. Keep praying. Do not give up. Prayer says faith and patience inherit the promises. Hebrews 10:36. Faith and patience. You need that perseverance, that patience to inherit the promises. It doesn't come immediately, quickly, but it will come. And if he wants you to pray in another way, pray in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows how to pray according to the will of the Father. That's what Scripture says. Pray in the Holy Spirit. In Jude 20, it says, build up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And through Jesus, we're righteous. Amen? Not our righteousness of ourself. Through him, we are righteous. It says in Psalm 86:5, you are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call on you. When I was in the Riptides in Costa Rica in 1988 and was ready to go under, trying to rescue this young 11-year-old boy, his father was next to him and another boy, and I cried out because I thought I can't even rescue him, let alone myself, after struggling for about 6 or 7 minutes, we were ready to go under. And I cried out, Jesus, save us. I didn't want to do it early and scare him, but now we're going to die, so I didn't care if he got scared or not. And the Lord sent three giant waves, one after another, that pushed us up on the shore because we cried out. And if we didn't, then I wouldn't be here, and we'd only have three kids. And then she'd be upset with me for the first 100 years in heaven until, you know, got over that. Why'd you leave me early? People, you think about that. When we cry out, he hears us, and he knows how to rescue us. We want to pray until something happens. We don't want to give up. We want to see something happen. I want to pray that the Lord helps us finish our wall project and teen challenge. We still need $2,000 to finish putting the wall up, the Nehemiah project. That is big. Guys come in there, they get under stress and anxiety, and they are very capable of leaping over our wall. And so we've got about half of it. We need the other half finished around there. Pray that God will help us finish that project. And it's in the newsletter if you want to read a little bit about that. But that God will help us finish that so that we can rest and not have to keep our eye on them all the time. It's just an important thing that we need to do now. God is doing incredible things. When you're praying, especially with other people, from Matthew 18, it says, when two or three are together and agree on touching anything, according to your will, he will do it. There's a dynamic, a prophetic dynamic that happens when you're with two or three people. When there's two or three of you, there's a exponential increase in power. We need to have our relationship with him alone, but we also need to pray in a small group. That is powerful. That is incredibly powerful. Don't let Satan keep you from that. Even if it's only one other person, it's very powerful, or two other. It is very powerful, and you can tear down incredible strongholds when you pray in unison, in harmony, in agreement. I think one of the greatest powerful things that can happen in a church is harmony. It's not automatic. It's got to be battled for. But it says in Psalm 133, there the Lord commands his blessing when brethren dwell together in harmony. And that means dying to yourself, to your agenda, to your perspective, and saying, Lord, I want to see your blessing on the body of Christ. I want to see your blessing on my family, on my church, on my brethren. I want to see your blessing. And I'm not going to raise issues and problems that are just very secondary. I'm going to battle for harmony and for souls. I'm not going to worry that it's not painted the color I want it. It's not the carpet that I was hoping for. What does it matter? Let's go for things that are important and eternal. And say, Lord, I want your harmony, your blessing on my life, on my church. It says in Isaiah 65:24, before they call, I will answer. And while they are speaking, I will hear. I shared that last time with you when I was coming out of the jungle 10 years ago. And it was nighttime, and a car from the extreme right, from a dead stop, pulled in front of me. And we're all going 60, 65 miles an hour on a four-lane highway. Nothing divides it. There's no lane dividers. Even there's nothing between the oncoming traffic. And I cried out because I'm going to crash into him, and then I'll crash into people next to me, and their car is coming against me. There's going to be an awful wreck, and I will be killed. And I just cried out, Jesus, and went up on two wheels and dodged traffic back and forth, back and forth, back and forth for about 8 seconds, oncoming traffic. And he sent an angel to steady the car because I should have flipped. And I was on two wheels with an SUV dodging traffic at that kind of speed for it's like a bull ride, those bull rides for 8 seconds. This was like that kind of excitement. But I'm ready to die, not just get bucked off. And he stopped me from flipping and stopped me from crashing and from losing control. And then I was able to bring the car back and drive, totally traumatized, of course, by the experience, but untouched by anything because I cried out, Jesus. How he answers. He doesn't have any problem with milliseconds. He says, even before you cry out, I will hear you. He is like that. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, and those who fear him. Those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord shall lack no good thing. Psalm 34:8-10. You need to pray and ask the Lord in these perilous times, these things that are coming up. There are all kinds of things. In September and October of this year, all kinds of things, from financial collapse to asteroids to summits between political leaders, all kinds of things, all kinds of things that God knows all about. And he is orchestrating them. And we say, Lord, you know all about these things. Prepare me, prepare my heart. Have me do what you want me to do. Have me be like the five wise virgins and have oil in my lamp. Keep the Holy Spirit's light and his anointing with me. And I'm prepared for whatever is there because you help me to prepare. You give me a heart of preparation. And I want to be a blessing in these times. And I want to ask the Lord to do that. He knows all of these things. He knows what's going to happen. And he wants us to hear his voice. This is the way. Walk ye in it. We will obey. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now that you're a good God. You've been good to us, Debbie and I, and this great church that supported us and many other missionaries for many, many years and helped keep us out there, Lord. And they share, Lord, in that blessing, Lord, as they've done their part. Holy Spirit, in these dark and perilous days, help us to draw closer to you than ever before, Jesus. Help us to more
turn aside with you, Jesus, and be watchful, to be like a watchman on the wall, and to see things, Lord, and to hear what you say and to prepare. And Lord, we won't be surprised. We won't be taken off guard because you speak to us, Lord. We're your children, your sons and daughters. Doesn't matter where we are in the world, as long as we're in your will and purpose, that's all that matters. We could be in the most dangerous part of the planet. It doesn't matter, as long as you're with us, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, right now, pour down your great glory on this church, Lord, on Pastor Dale and his wife and the church family here, Jesus, in Geneva, and bless them abundantly as they've blessed Debbie and I and many others for many, many years. And bless them, Lord God. Cause them to thrive, to grow, and to be strengthened, Lord, in these times. Hear your voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Help us, Lord, have heart to hear you, Lord, and to obey you. Thank you, Father, for helping us, guiding us to enjoy your presence, enjoy your peace, enjoy worshiping you, Jesus, more and more as that day draws near. Help us, Lord, to be faithful, faithful to the end, and to finish strong and to finish well. Help us to be like that, Lord. We want to finish well. Thank you, Father. Fire, Holy Spirit, we ask for your fire of intercession for our loved ones. Oh God, help us, Lord, to feel the burden. Give us a burden again for loved ones, for neighbors, co-workers, those who live near us, those, Lord, that you've put a burden on our heart, those that are in our circle of influence, those that you have in our life, Lord, give us a burden to hold them before your throne and to see their hearts change and turn toward you. We want to see them in heaven with us. We don't want them outside that, Lord. We want them with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence and for your push in our own spirits and your anointing, your unction, Lord, which helps us to pray and not give up and not grow weary and not grow tired. You refresh us each day, Lord. We don't live week by week or month by month. We live day by day. Thank you, the strength to get here to church this day, to worship you this day, to pray this day. And you'll help us do it again tomorrow, Lord. And have our hearts ready for the things that you prepare for us. That our life will be an adventure. It will be what you want it to be, Lord. And we will be ready to bring forth your word and to hold people in earnest intercession and prayer continually until something happens, until we see them come to you, Jesus. We don't give up until we see that. Thank you, Lord. We give you the glory and the praise and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's too small. This would be better.
I know most of y'all are here today. I know most of your stories. And I know that he spoke very directly to some of your situations. And I take that as just a confirmation of what God wants to do for you. And I know that Tim and Debbie, they come very humbly, and they could have shared. We could spend all afternoon listening to stories of how God has provided and how God has sustained and how God has done, you know, just these crazy, miraculous, unforeseen things for them and their family and their children. And, you know, when we have guests come in from far away, exotic places, they're in jungles or they're in places of the world where, you know, perhaps others have not traveled. And in our minds, a lot of times we can, kind of perceive, okay, well, yeah, they're doing these awesome and wonderful things in these really strange places, and of course God's going to be with them, and of course God's going to do awesome, mighty works. And sometimes we get this idea that just because we're not somewhere halfway around the world or somewhere in the Amazon jungle or somewhere, that God won't do things like that for us. But the truth of it is that it doesn't matter where you are, if God has called you to that place, and if you are walking in God's will, you can be right in your own home and you can see the miraculous power and love and provision that God has demonstrated for Tim and Deb here, as they've described some today. And so that prayer, that acronym PUSH, I've heard that before and it's very powerful, and I agree with that. Pray until something happens. All the time I'll have somebody come to me and say, Pastor, I have this going on in my life. I have that going on in my life. And you know what? When I hear that anymore, the first thing I'm going to ask you is, are you praying? Have you been praying? And if the answer is no, then of course I'm going to encourage you, start praying. And if the answer is yes, I've been praying, then I'm going to say, don't stop. Don't stop, because God is faithful. Amen. I want to take up an offering. We weren't aware that they were coming till like very recently. And I want to bless them. And I want to give you opportunity to bless them as well. We do support them monthly. But as Debbie shared, not every church is able to do that. And so there are times in their lives where they're reaching out and they're walking in faith and they're just trusting God. And I want to give an opportunity for you all to bless them today and just to help them in their journey in what God is doing in them and through them. And understand, you know, when you give to missions, when you give to, you know, somebody who's out there, who's answered the call to go to the far reaches of the world and preach the gospel, understand that is such a powerful thing in your life as well. Because you are, when you enable somebody else to do the thing that God has called them to do, you are right in God's will along with them. And so understand that. And so I pray that you bless them generously. Let me just pray real quick. Father, we thank you for what you have done through the ministry and of the Andersons, Lord, and their family, all the blessings you've poured out, all the provision, all the struggles. All, Lord God, the times when they were in fear, Lord, you have been so faithful. And God, I thank you for every second of it. And I thank you, God, that you have called us to be a part of it. And Lord, that you have used us to be able to help them to do the things that you've called them to do. And Father, today as we take up a blessing, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. And Lord God, that we would bless them abundantly. Lord, that their visit here would be fruitful for them in many ways. But God, that you would provide for them, Lord, their every possible need. So God, we thank you for sending them here, for blessing us with their ministry, sharing what it is that you have done in their lives and through their lives. We pray for the Teen Challenge Center there in Ecuador, God. What a testimony of your love for that country and for that city and those people. And God, I pray a blessing there that the men and the women who go through that facility, that they would come out fully trusting you. They would come out completely transformed, and the things that caused them to go there in the first place would no longer be a hindrance for them, but rather they would be encouraged and strengthened, and they would be able to leave that place and testify of your goodness in their lives and start churches and start fellowships where others could turn to you as well. Lord, I pray for the those that are in the jungle in Ecuador. Lord, in the deepest far reaches of places, perhaps they've never even seen or heard of your name. I pray for them, God, that they will be reached and they will be touched. And Lord, that you'll reach down into their little villages and their little families, Lord, and save them. Lord, pour out your blessing upon each and every heart that has entered this room today. Fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your power. Fill us with faith to wait and to trust you no matter what. And God, may we go forth with the name of Jesus Christ readily upon our lips in order to share your love with others, that we would see our villages, our homes, and our cities transformed as well. We thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, brother. Just take that and pass it. Please be generous. Again, they have some things on the back they have to take a look at. They have their news report there and prayer cards. Enjoy that. And amen. Maybe I'll go sing a song. How many enjoyed Tim and Debbie today? Amen. That was a good word, brother, by the way. Thank you. Maybe she was there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Stand with me.
Freedom in the name of
Amen. God bless you all. Greet one another this morning as we're dismissed. We'll be back here tonight at 6 o'clock. Make sure to say hi to Tim and Debbie before you leave. Thank you so much for giving. Thank you so much for blessing. May the sun shine in your day today.